2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story, jazz star Donovan Mitchell had to be helped off the court during today's game against the Indiana Pacers. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt has the very latest.
The Utah Jazz confirmed guard Donovan Mitchell sprained his right ankle during today's home game. He left during the third quarter with the help of teammates and didn't return. After the game, teammate Mike Conley says Mitchell's frustrated, but he's still in good spirits.
You know, he's making jokes, so, you know, he's still same old Don, so I think he'll be fine.
Rudy Gobert apparently said something similar. It's unclear the severity of the sprain, but Conley says the team's training staff is one of the best in the league.
They'll make sure he's in great hands and take care of him the best they can.
Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
The Jazz beat the Pacers this afternoon, but it kind of seems secondary. And Donovan's injury comes the same day an NBA legend bought a chunk of the team.
Wade with a steal, with two. Wade puts it up for the win. Yes! He did it! Dwayne Wade with the steal.
Wade's greatest moment. His second greatest moment came this morning with the announcement he's bought a minority stake of the Utah Jazz. The team's coaching staff believes he'll be a great addition to the club. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
In a statement, Dwayne Wade said partnering with majority owner Ryan Smith was the perfect fit. He says, quote, "Not only is this group focused on building a championship franchise, they are also committed to using their platform to do good and actively create a more inclusive, equitable world," end quote. Head coach Quinn Snyder says this is an exciting move. Since Wade not only has a lot of business acumen, but being a former player, he has a unique understanding of what the players are going through.
Wade says this partnership, quote, "goes beyond my wildest dreams of playing basketball, and I hope to inspire the next generation of dreamers." KSL's top national story, the identity of the gunman who shot up a FedEx warehouse, leaving eight dead in Indianapolis.
19-year-old Brandon Hull. FedEx officials have confirmed that Mr. Hull was a former employee at the facility, and he was last employed in 2020.
Indianapolis Police Department Deputy Chief Craig McCart says the suspect was using a rifle. It's unclear what kind. Police say the suspect had a gun that was seized by authorities last year, a day after a shootout at the San Antonio airport. That city is grappling with another incident this morning after a pickup truck was pulled over by police. The driver opened fire. Officers pulled back and pulled weapons.
He retreated backward, returning fire. Inside the vehicle, the passenger and the driver were both shot. They are both deceased, and the third passenger was transported to the hospital.
That's the police chief in San Antonio. The officers are fine, and they're being hailed for taking quick action. After a string of high-profile police shootings, the White House is calling on Congress to pass some new laws. Laws the White House says could have prevented those shootings. ABC's Andy Field has details from Washington.
The George Floyd Justice in Policing Act would hold police accountable and end racial profiling.
The president is eager to sign the George Floyd Act into law, eager to sign a police reform bill into law.
White House spokesperson Jen Psaki saying the president's pushing reluctant Republicans to vote for the bill he says will help end a string of deadly police shootings of unarmed black Americans. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
A Roy man is now charged with murder in a bizarre case we told you about earlier this week. 48-year-old Daniel Johnson is accused of shooting and killing his friend. It was a dispute over money. 38-year-old Steve Bailey's body was found later. Charging documents say Johnson dumped his friend's body in a secluded area where it was discovered by a passerby on Tuesday. As the Biden administration turns up the heat for gun control, a new Quinnipiac poll shows an overwhelming amount of support for background checks on all gun purchases.
The new Quinnipiac poll claims 9 in 10 Americans support requiring background checks for all gun buyers. The support is also high among Republicans, 84% in favor. As far as other gun control measures, the poll claims only about half of Americans, or 54%, say they support stricter gun laws in the U.S., with 52% of those polled supporting a nationwide ban on the sale of assault weapons. Ike Adjaci, ABC News, Washington.
A self-described member of the Oath Keepers militia group has pleaded guilty today to his role in the Capitol riot. ABC's Aaron Katursky with details.
John Schaefer joined the pro-Trump mob that stormed the Capitol and was among the rioters who sprayed police officers with bear spray. As part of his plea agreement, Schaefer will be released from custody, but he must fully cooperate with federal prosecutors as they build their cases against more than 400 other defendants. Schaefer is the first rioter to plead guilty. He faces up to 4 years in prison when he's...
Prosecutors say Schaefer admitted to being among the first people to push their way into the Capitol building January the 6th. KSL News Time 5:05. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report, and here's Ricky Meese.
We have a KSL traffic trooper giving us a heads up of a new accident near the intersection of Harrison Boulevard and 26th Street in Ogden, and it is causing some slowdowns. But where I'm seeing some big backups starting to really stack up quickly, it's due to a crash with possible injuries westbound I-80 at State Street. Two right lanes are blocked, and delays are already backing past 7th East. And slow down southbound I-15 Murray to Sandy. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:06. Utah's entire congressional delegation is calling a political cartoon critical of Congressman Burgess Owens repugnant. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz reports the cartoon compared comments Owens made about people coming in from the border to the messages of the KKK.
The cartoon depicts Owens and the KKK members 40 years apart, but both using the phrase, they're coming to your neighborhood, in referencing different groups of people of color. Owens made some comments last week to beware of people coming in from the border. But today, both of Utah's senators and three other congressmen called the cartoon by the Salt Lake Tribune a racially charged, perverse political statement that is beyond the pale.
The delegation is calling on the paper to take down the cartoon and apologize to Owens. Top health officials are sounding the alarm about coronavirus cases increasing in nearly half the country.
As the number of new COVID-19 cases in the U.S. approaches 70,000 per day, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has this warning.
What I'm most concerned about, the numbers which are most on my mind, are the rising cases.
Health officials say the highly contagious UK variant is contributing to a rise in new infections, hospitalizations, and deaths, with the national daily average of COVID deaths up nearly 11% in the past week. Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
Doctors say the data is showing the COVID vaccines have benefits and protections for pregnant or breastfeeding women and their babies. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards takes a look.
Anyone who is pregnant or breastfeeding should speak with their doctor about it. And Intermountain Healthcare's Medical Director of Women's Health, Dr. Sean Esplin, recommends the vaccine not only for his patients, but also for his own family. His daughter is expecting a baby. Dr. Esplin says the antibodies from the vaccine pass to the baby in even higher form than if the mother had had COVID itself.
Research shows that getting COVID can be risky for pregnant women, especially if the woman has underlying health conditions. KSL News Time 5:08. Time now for my minute of news, brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. Have you heard of Zoom-free Fridays? After the lockdown, somebody sick of primping from the waist up and staring at coworkers' nostrils declared these video meetings will be the death of us. And thus, some companies instituted Zoom-free Fridays. And then they kept holding Zoom meetings anyway because problems can only be solved by looking into the dead eyes of an exhausted underling.
Zoom!
This is the theme song of an old public TV kids show called Zoom. A show that obviously pre-programmed Gen X kids for the day they'd have to come on and Zoom, 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 Zoom all day long during the pandemic.
Zoom-a, 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 Zoom-a.
I want to suggest, instead of these endless Zoom meetings, to restore our childlike happiness, we Zoom every time the boss wants, but keep the cameras off. Except for one day a week. Call it Look at Me Monday or FaceTime Friday. It doesn't matter. Everybody will be happier and it helps the environment. It does. An hour of video conferencing uses the same fuel it takes to drive 5 miles, plus 3 gallons of water, which cools the Zoom server. Shut off video, stick to audio. You use 96% fewer resources. So let's be kind to the environment. Let's start No Camera Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and bring back Zoom Free Friday. Look, I loved that TV show as a kid, but boss, we're all getting sick of Zoom.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Well, a little bit of good news. They've opened up the right lanes of traffic with this new accident westbound I-80 at State Street. All lanes are open, but we still have backups past about 7th East. And what's left of that earlier crash is still on the right shoulder. Southbound traffic, I-15 in Salt Lake County. A little bit of improvement. We still have delays, Murray to Sandy. But now they start as you're approaching 53rd South to 90th. Also a little bit of slowing. And this is heavy traffic northbound I-15 between the I-80-201 interchange into downtown. Len?
Vicki, as you make your way southbound I-15 over the point of the mountain is good, but SR-92, it starts to slow down to Thanksgiving Point, and then you're in good shape till the town of Wing and Pleasant Grove, where it slows to Linden, and then again a spot of slowing in Vidyard to Orem. And then in Tooele County, we got a kind of a crash there, northbound Main Street at 1500 North. It's on the right lane, and it's adding to a gummed-up drive already right there in that area. Michelle?
Well, we have solid slowdowns northbound I-15, Farmington late to Layton, then they clear up in Clearfield. Southbound also bogged down I-15, Ogden to Clinton, and another crash in Ogden at Harrison Boulevard and 26th Street. Any Hour Services, licensed electricians, plumbers, and certified HVAC technicians taking extra precautions as Utah reopens. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. I'm Michelle Rowe in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. And Kristen Van Dyke has your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head towards Saturday.
Thanks, Jeff. Temperatures will stay in the 40s as we head through the evening hours, but will gradually clear the skies out. 7 p.m., partly cloudy, 48 degrees. 9 p.m., partly cloudy and 45. By 11 p.m., clear skies, 41, with a low of 34 and breezy conditions developing again. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kristen Van Dyke with your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report.
43 degrees in Provo with light rain. Salt Lake City, it's 49 and mostly cloudy. Sunrise tomorrow morning is at 6:45. Northern Wasatch Front, you'll get your first glimpse at any damage from the wind overnight. KSL News Time, 5:12. Look, it's been a lot of windy nights. Right now, we go in-depth with Nick Wyatt.
Jeff, it's that old adage, cheaters never prosper, and in this case it would seem they don't graduate on schedule either. 51 cadets at the West Point Academy will have to repeat an entire year after Academy officials caught them cheating on a calculus test last May. The students were studying remotely last year, of course, because of the pandemic, and an investigation was launched after professors noticed some irregularities. So most of the 51 cadets, who were mostly freshmen, were turned back a full year after admitting to the cheating, and 8 were expelled. This is the biggest cheating scandal at the Academy since 1976, when 150 upperclassmen resigned or were expelled for cheating on an electrical engineering test. West Point Superintendent Lieutenant General Darrell Williams tells the Associated Press the institution must be the gold standard for developing Army officers and says West Point demands nothing less than impeccable character from its graduates. Jeff?
Difficult subjects and sad news. Thanks, Nick. KSL News Time, 5:13. An American fork couple was expecting their 5th child just not as soon as he arrived. Graydon Clark called 911 just as his son Henry was being born. When Henry was delivered, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. Dispatcher Heather Robinson talked Graydon through unwrapping the cord.
Do you see any obvious problems?
He's not breathing yet.
Okay, so the cord is completely free, right?
Right.
Yeah, the
cord's
free. He's totally out. Okay, gently wipe the baby's mouth and nose.
Jennifer and Graydon have 4 other children, but say Henry was a week early and his delivery went much faster than the others. SpaceX engineers and four astronauts are gearing up for the program's third astronaut launch in under a year. NASA pilot Megan MacArthur says she's excited for the six-month mission after a decade away from the International Space Station.
There's nothing like it when you look out the window and see a spaceship getting prepared and realize that you're going to be riding on it in a few days.
Engineers have cleared the Falcon rocket and Dragon capsule for the Dawn liftoff next Thursday. The crew will replace a Russian-led mission set to return to Earth tomorrow. One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, the pandemic has caused a variety of supply issues over the years, as did the Suez Canal blockage. There's another shortage coming, and it's going to impact your garden. KSL News Radio's Kira Hoffemeyer tells us about it. Kira?
Jeff, your garden might have to go gnome-free this summer. The pandemic lockdowns have led to more people taking up gardening and therefore increased demand for garden gnomes. It's not just the gnomes, it's garden furniture and ornaments generally, but gnomes of all varieties, stone, plastic, or concrete, are reportedly difficult to come by. One garden center told the BBC it hasn't even seen a garden gnome in stock for the past 6 months, Jeff.
Gnome news is bad news. Thank you, Kira. It's 5:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Jazz star Donovan Mitchell sprained his ankle during this afternoon's home game against the Indiana Pacers. Mitchell was helped off the court during the third quarter and didn't come back. Jazz did win, though. I'm KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt.
Second, the wind is on the way again. The National Weather Service says expect gusts up to 55 miles an hour tonight, especially along the northern half of the Wasatch Front. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Utah County drivers, you do have southbound slowdowns on I-15 starting as you're leaving American Fork and getting through Linden, and then you're also going to see a little bit of northbound heavy and slow traffic on I-15 approaching SR-92 Temp Highway. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Clearing skies as we head through the evening hours, but windy conditions to kick off the weekend. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kristen Van Dyke.
49 degrees now. KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden says the nation is fed up with mass shootings.
Every single day, there's a mass shooting in the United States.
And the president again calling on the Senate to pass the gun control bills. The House has already signed off on calling the ongoing shootings a national embarrassment.
The folks who own weapons, the folks who own guns, they support universal background checks. The majority of them think we should not be selling assault weapons. Who in God's name needs a weapon that can hold 100 rounds?
The president making the comments as he met at the White House today with Japanese Prime Minister Suga. The most recent shooting was late last night in Indianapolis. 8 were killed, several others wounded. Police learning more about the young man who opened fire.
19-year-old Brandon Hull last worked at the FedEx warehouse in Indianapolis in 2020.
Detectives have served several search warrants at multiple locations and are continuing to gather evidence to determine the facts that led up to Thursday night's incident.
Deputy Indianapolis Police Chief Craig McCart said Hull had a couple of prior run-ins with police, including one in which a gun was seized. Authorities are still working to identify the 8 people he shot before he turned the rifle on himself as police arrived. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
Businesses in downtown Chicago are boarded up. Owners are worried about growing protests a day after the release of body cam footage showing a 13-year-old shot by a police officer last month.
He put his hands up and was still murdered.
Rabbi Michael Ben Yosef was among a small group of mostly peaceful demonstrators last night. The FDA's officially revoked Eli Lilly's emergency authorization for its solo monoclonal antibody treatment for COVID-19. The agency says the potential benefits no longer outweigh the known and potential risks. You're listening to ABC News.
Now the KSL in-depth at this afternoon's Jazz home game against the Indiana Pacers. Vivint Arena welcomed the new minority owner of the team.
3-time NBA champion, and now joining the Utah Jazz family as a new member of our ownership group, Dwayne Wade.
Yes. 3-time NBA champion Dwayne Wade owns a part of the Jazz now. We don't know what he paid. We don't know how much he owns, but a minority stake. All of this on the same afternoon Donovan Mitchell had to be helped off the court with an apparent ankle sprain. KSL News Radio sports director Alex Keery joins me live. Alex, which of those two developments is more important?
Yeah, it was a lot to unpack on Friday afternoon when we're normally, you know, maybe prepping for a game or whatever. Or we were hoping to just kind of be excited about the Dwayne Wade news. But, yeah, Donovan Mitchell's lower leg injury that he went out with, apparently it's an ankle. It was a negative. They were negative on the x-rays. So, at least that's good on that front. That's not broken. But timelines, all that stuff, they're not even talking about yet. And I frankly don't think that they necessarily know. Not a good time to have it happen, too, going into a back-to-back with the Lakers.
Yeah, I'd seen they're doing an MRI tonight. They'll have more information about how long he might be out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is then you juggle a couple of things. It's like, because you don't want to come back too early. They have, you know, Jordan Clarkson, who also had an ankle injury recently, where, you know, he wants to get back on the court. But, you know, these guys, re-aggravating is obviously worse. And this is the worst, too, because they're in the middle of a playoff run. But I think that the good news is that he's likely going to be playing. It just is about when and how do you kind of balance that with still trying to be able to get some wins, maintain first place. It's good news that they have one of the weaker schedules in the NBA in the second half of the season, because they're going to need it, because I think they're probably going to be without Donovan for at least a little bit of a stretch.
All right, so let's go to the Dwayne Wade thing.
Yeah, that's more exciting, Jeff. I'm way more excited about that.
Very specific question. Utah's a long way from Miami, or didn't he play in Chicago briefly?
Yeah, a couple years. Yeah,
okay,
but, yeah.
Why Utah?
Listen, Scott Mitchell always says this. He goes, if you have a chance to buy any part of any sports franchise anywhere, you do it. And these guys who leave the game and they have a lot of money and they were smart with their investing, which Dwayne Wade obviously was one of those guys. I mean, he made over $200 million in his career, and he's an investor. I mean, he's a smart investor. I think along the way, he just has kind of picked out good businesses, like, you know, your Shaqs and your Magic Johnson, same thing. He bought in early with Starbucks, and he owns, you know, part of the Dodgers now. It's a lucrative deal to be a part of sports. It's about what opportunities there. And I think Dwayne Wade saw one here and really liked what he saw from Ryan Smith, what they pitched to him, because he was kind of shopping around, I think. And to be able to have a guy like this buy into the Jazz is massive, Jeff.
But is he going to show up at practices and help out?
See, that's the thing, is minority owners don't roll up and go, I'm going to be a part of the draft night, you know, situation. I do think that he's going to be on the phone, though. You know, when he can talk to these players in a way that they can totally understand. He knows how to motivate people. If you think Ryan Smith was not necessarily committed to the Jazz winning a championship like he had said, because there's a lot of talk like that, like people say, oh, we want to win a championship. This is a move in the direction of, we are getting people on board that make it to where we are serious about actually building up a championship team, because they want it. He can help bring guys in that you probably might not necessarily be able to convince to come to Utah. And he even likes what the community deal is, too, and they want to get there with him as well. He loves what Utah's
trying
to do. Alex,
I got to run because we have to get to traffic here. More with KSL's Unrivaled tonight, the Jazz taking a step forward toward that championship and one backward today. KSL News Time, 522. Triple team traffic now, and let's turn it over to Ricky Meese.
Well, we still have the cleanup of this crash that's caused some slowdowns. The accident is westbound I-80 at State Street. Now, everybody involved or who are attending the crash, out of traffic on the right shoulder. But we still have some backups to about 9th East, so anticipate those delays, but all lanes of traffic are open. Southbound I-15 in Salt Lake County, you're going to see a slow ride as you go between 5300 South through Sandy. By the time you're at the Southtown Mall, you're back to good speeds. Len?
Turning tight on I-15 in Utah County. Southbound is slowing south of Pioneer Crossing to Vineyard. And that northbound slowing has moved a little bit. It's now after SR-92 as you approach the top of the point of the mountain. In Tooele, a couple of crashes slowing things up. The latest is northbound Main Street at 1500 North on the right shoulder. The other southbound at 1000 North. Michelle?
Well, we still have northbound delays starting at Shepherd Lane going up to Clearfield. On the flip side, Ogden into Clinton. And for drivers on Highway 89, slow in spots from Fruit Heights up to South Weber. I'm Michelle Rowe in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together on the nines, and here's the 7-day forecast with Kristen Van Dyke.
Thanks, Jeff. 7-day forecast. Temperatures will go up as we head into the weekend. It'll be a breezy Saturday, 59 degrees and sunshine. Then on Sunday, sunshine and temperatures feeling a lot more pleasant in the mid-60s, lows in the mid-30s. As we head into next week, we'll see one more system on Monday to bring in the chance for some rain. Highs stay in the low to mid-60s, though. Then more sunshine midweek with temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. From the KSL Weather Weather Center, I'm Kristen Van Dyke.
It's getting warmer, 51 in Salt Lake City. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 524.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.